Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 31, 32, and 33 of Lord of Chaos, Red Wax, Summoned in Haste, and Courage to Strengthen. Enjoy!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome everybody to season 6, episode 16, the sweet 16 episode.
Oh boy.
And this one's a doozy. Before we get started, I know Ian, you're at in the military base. I know Chris, you're drinking, but I'm gonna drink one for our homie.
I'm working on my intelligence level. I got my smart water. I don't feel a difference. Still feel pretty dumb.
Rest in peace. All right. So,
thank
before,
you.
Yeah, before we get any further, new patrons. We do have Lazarus. He is our newest patron. So thank you. Thank
Woo!
You for patronage.
Yay.
Woo!
Appreciate you.
Let's see.
It would be perfect if he every month leaves and then comes back.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be Lazarus, you got to. He's gone. He's back.
Oh, that'd be funny. Yeah, so also we did hit 2,400 Twitter followers. So we're on our way to 2,500. So that's that'll be a milestone number, kind of sort of.
Yeah, shout out to all our twats out there. Thank you.
All of our tweeters.
Is that not how you say it?
Twatters.
Sure. Sorry, I don't tweet.
But speaking of Twitter, the announcement, I've already said this once on a separate video, but not actually on our podcast. Every single year, the Wheel Reads, meaning myself and a whole bunch of other content creators, host the Twitter of Time Awards. It is a Oscar-esque award show. We give out the Wheelies, which is a trophy that we have. It's pretty. And we're not like happy to announce the date for that. That's going to be November 5th. So remember the 5th of November, the Twitter of Time Awards. I have to get a Guy Fawkes mask. We'll be wearing that. If you're on Twitter, I've already started doing calls for nominations for the different categories. There's going to be at least 11 categories this year. I've put out calls for 4 of them so far. I will keep on doing that when I have time to. The problem is you guys have been given so many nominations, it's hard to keep up, so I got to stagger it. So thank you, everyone out there that's on the Twitter and it is following along and looking for those and nominating people. I'll continue the next few weeks. We'll probably close out nominations in about 2 weeks or so, about a week and a half now. Giveaways. Next month, we're going to be doing more giveaways for October. I'm going to do 3 giveaways. We'll do a hardcover copy book of the Wheel of Time book of your choice. We'll do a coffee mug and a frosty mug. Just do some mugs. And they'll be on different social medias. So keep checking out all those to win stuff.
You're in a mugging mood.
I'm in a muggy mood. Yeah.
Watch out. You're going to get mugged.
And if my internet gets a little wonky tonight, guys, I am sorry in advance. I'm looking at the live stream. It has like the little bars. It keeps going up and down, full strength, one bar. So I don't know what's going on. I'm close to my router. I need to call my internet provider and yell at them, but whatever.
Is your dryer running?
Yeah, you know, it might be, but that's on the other side of the house.
If you have a large appliance running, if you have grounding issues, you can have variable voltage where your router's plugged in, and routers are pretty sensitive to that.
Yeah, our router's really close to the dryer, but then we have a repeater that's closer to this because I'm far away from the router, so it's whatever. however that works.
You can spend thousands of dollars and either ground your house properly or get a harmonic filter, which will filter out the breaks in the electricity flowing through your house, breaks in the waves because of the large appliances. Anyways, sorry.
Speaking of appliances, get right into get right into personal life and talk about the dude, this is going to turn into a low slander account. We'll figure this out. So my refrigerator, we finally decided to buy a new refrigerator because it wasn't like it was a big repair. The ice maker, the door for the ice maker broke, and I had to take apart the whole thing, put it back together, and then something else broke. And I was like, you know what? If replacing pieces every single week, it's time. Let's just get a new one.
Yeah.
Because it's just wasting my time now if it's just going to keep on breaking. So it was an old refrigerator. So we went to Lowe's on Labor Day sale. So that was 2 weeks ago to buy a refrigerator. And we picked one out we liked and ordered it. Because they didn't have it in stock, of course, because they never do. They delivered it on Friday. I was not home because I was at work, and my wife sent it back immediately because of how dented it was. So because it, I mean, we're paying for a new refrigerator, don't want it to be
right.
Covered in dents, like
unless it's half off. I mean,
yeah, unless you're going to negotiate there. Yeah. But I'm the paying full price for like a beat up refrigerator. So
they're not cheap full price these days.
So we sent it back, and they sent another one the next day, and they hauled away our refrigerator. Well, after a day of having the new one there, my wife decided that she didn't decide. We got stainless steel because it matches the rest of our appliances, but it was a different shade of stainless steel than the rest, and it definitely was an eyesore. So we end up sending it back again, but they've already hauled away a refrigerator at this point. Mm-hmm. And we order another refrigerator right there on the spot, and they're like, oh, well, that one's on back order. It'll be 2 weeks before you get that refrigerator.
Oh.
I was like, okay. Well, good thing we have an extra refrigerator in the garage, it's a big one, so we're able to put everything. We actually have
the beer fridge.
I know. It is. So
was.
And then we have a chest freezer, like a chest freezer outside too in the garage. So, you know, we're able to fit everything in there. It's just kind of a pain because you have to go out to the garage to get stuff now. And it was supposed to be delivered last Friday. And then I get an email saying, oh, it's been pushed back to Saturday. I was like, okay, not a big deal. This is pushed back to Monday. I was like, okay. And then Sunday comes around and I get an email saying, your order's been changed. I was like, okay. And I pull it up. It's like, yeah, we'll be delivered Monday. I was like, okay, I already knew that. And then like literally half an hour later, I got an email saying, your order's been canceled. Here's your full refund. And I was like,
oh.
What? Like,
mm-hmm. They do that. Even here at the university, they do that.
Yeah. I'm like, so I called up customer service, and this made it even worse. It's like, I asked for appliances. Like, but yeah, we don't handle all my orders. Let me put you back to customer service. I got transferred back and forth for literally an hour until I just gave up and hung up on them. And I just haven't had time to call back again now. But it's like,
they won.
I don't want to. Yeah, it's, I'm like, we don't have a
Lowe's, right?
Fridge. So yeah, what you're saying is they stole your fridge.
Yeah, they took
the net result is they stole your fridge.
The net result is they stole our fridge.
All right, so.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. Lowe's is literally 15 minutes down the road from you.
They'd be bringing me a fridge.
I would be at Lowe's at 8:30 in the morning, and I wouldn't leave.
Well, I mean, I would if it was the fact that, like, on Sunday night, also, my son got a fever, and so, you know, we had to do all that. And then,
were they multiplying?
They're multiplying, yeah. And then
did you lose control?
And then last night, my youngest son, the baby, was just blood curly screaming till 3 o'clock in the morning I don't know why.
Baby.
So it's been a rough few days. When I get time, I'm definitely going to be driving to Lowe's, or maybe I'm not even gonna call at this point. I'm just gonna.
It's a good excuse to get away.
Be like, guys, yeah. and Sunday I was at the beach trying to enjoy myself, and I got these emails, and I'm like super frustrated now at the beach, like in grumpy pants mode. Like, okay, this is ridiculous. But on the lighter side, next weekend, not this weekend, but the following weekend, I'm going to a bachelor party. So I'm excited about that. So I get to forget about all my stars and fridge problems and go drink myself half to death and go to concert, which is going to be amazing. So,
yeah.
And
when you think about it in the big picture, like, I mean, we all take turns complaining about stuff that happens in our lives, but they're all first world problems.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, true. It's super frustrating not to, you know, take away from my main, but at the same time,
not available to me.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm just, I'm excited because in 2 weeks, I'll be sitting on the beach listening to Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds, Toad the Web Rocket, LAR.
Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette, yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. Gosh, I was
Lumineers.
About it,
but... Yeah.
And down are you there. Still going to make the wedding?
Oh yeah, I'm coming back for that. Yeah, I'm not gonna go to the I'm not gonna stay for the Sunday part of the festival.
That's fantastic. Yeah, super jealous.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Sounds like it.
That's it for my personal life. I'm just waiting for a fridge.
Yeah. So I won't get too far into my drama. I'll just say that the lawyer at JAG here that I've been talking to, she's fantastic. And then I've been bored, so I just keep giving her stuff where folks within the chain of command here are going off script and not following policy and not following rules and everything. And she's like, what do you want me to do with this? I was like, well, you know, eventually if we go the route of court martial, or if they decide not to, there's be some negotiations between you and them beforehand. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she got in touch with the attorney that's representing my chain of command right here. And apparently she showed him a few of the things and he was just like, yeah, I'm going to just go tell them they need to drop this. I was like, okay, that's good news. So I'm still stuck here for a little bit. But anyways, you know, playing the game is not fun, but if I have to, I guess I'm okay at it. So that's good to know. But on a positive note, I've told some of y'all already, started working out again. My back's feeling better. Being very cautious about it, because I know when you get these shots, it's not like it fixes all of my smashed vertebrae in my lower back. It just kind of reduces the swelling, but I'm still at risk of re-aggravating. So I'm going easy with it. I started running at the beginning of September. My first 1 mile I did in 10 and a half minutes and almost died. And then last week I ran a very casual 8 minute mile, and then doing some interval training where, like, you know, quarter mile at 90%, you know, and then, you know, walk a lap and then do another quarter mile, whatever. And I'm holding those at like in a 6:30 minute mile pace. And then I did 2 miles for the first time today, which I intentionally did super slow because that's the longest I've ran in forever. So I did that in 20 minutes, which awesome. I was excited. Yeah. Well, I was excited to be able to run for 20 minutes without falling over. It's been a while. So, and
now we're on run talk.
Yeah, sorry. But well, so let me dabble on this, because I know we probably have listeners that have had either injuries or have had periods of like chronic pain, or maybe their whole life. I don't know, but you have an injury like that, and I've said before, it's the first time I've had something that has lasted more than a couple of weeks. You get a little PTSD from it. Like, there are some things that even with physical therapy, they're like, no, you're fine, go ahead and do a pull up. And I'm like legit panicky going to do it, because that was one of those things that triggered the most pain when it was at its worst. So I think I'm being overly cautious in my workout schedule now, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good thing. I just don't want to feel that again. That was
there's nothing wrong with regression in order to progress.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've had my days where I've cut the workouts very short when I could have done more, but I'm like, nope. My lower back just feels funny. I'm just not even gonna do anything else today, you know.
Yeah, there are days where I sit too long and I feel it in my back. I'm like, all right, well, I know what I'm not doing in the gym, or I know I'm not fucking messing with Slater. It's like, there's nothing wrong with taking it slow and building yourself back to the beast that you were.
Yeah,
I joined.
It's gonna take a while though.
I joined a gym to work out during my lunch breaks, and literally since I've joined, it's been so slammed at work that literally I just look at the clock and I'm like, oh, it's time to go home. Crap.
Oh yeah.
To take lunch.
It's hard to carve that time out.
It is, especially with kids. Like, it's tough. Yeah. Yeah.
At least now, because I do absolutely nothing but watch people here and wait for them to fuck up and then send an email.
Yeah.
I have a lot of time on my hands. So
yeah.
No excuses for me right now.
Yeah. Anyways, Chris, how about you? What's going on in your world?
Oh, 32 days come tomorrow till the wedding.
To the wedding.
Woo! Till the dance party.
Yeah, the dance party for real.
I'm going to carrying my GoPro, and we're going to be live from Chris's wedding. I'll play that'll work.
Actually, I need somebody to go live on Facebook. That'd be awesome.
I'll do live Facebook. I'll go live YouTube. Screw it. I'll just.
Hey, why not?
We're going to bring all of our.
We're right here, the Will Reads, live at Chris's wedding.
That'd be dope. You'll get to see me do my pizza maker. I've been practicing that.
Thinking that might be a thing. We'll have to discuss this more. But we are, like I said last time, all final contracts have been signed and down payments have been made and people are ready to go. And I've got 24 people I'm waiting to RSVP, which I think half of them are going to come, which is great because we're right on target for the number we wanted. So, like, everything is really...
You're not downing the alcohol level, right, by if people show up, right? So there's more alcohol. Awesome.
There's more. Amazing. Yeah, it's all by consumption.
All right.
Oh, it's all by consumption. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It is by
consumption. I'm sorry.
No, I'm gonna send you the bill.
I'll apologize ahead of time. Alan and I are literally just hanging out at the corner of the dance floor that's closest to a bar. That's gonna be our little jab spot.
It is like all night too, like from 5 o'clock until 10. It is open bar.
I'll take 2 martinis here and then keep on coming until one of us passes out. Until you pull off Wall Street.
So, you know, that's all coming together. By the time this comes out, I will have spent a weekend with my kitten alone. Kitten comes home Saturday morning. So,
awesome.
You know, very things are, really are coming together quite well. We're super excited. Work is moving a little slow right now, which I'm grateful for because I've had other things in life that I've been focusing on, which hopefully I'll be at liberty to talk about later in the next coming month and a half or so. And other than that, just, you know, chilling, working out, enjoying life.
Yeah, cool. So. Awesome. Make sure you post pictures of those the kitty cat.
Yes, it may be too, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, kitty cats, but I didn't know.
The decision has yet to be made. The breeder's going to make that decision on Friday for me. So we'll see what happens.
Cool. I hope you get them both. That'd be great. That way they got a buddy.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with it.
Yes, there will be kitten pictures on Discord. Definitely. That will happen.
Absolutely.
Yes, they'll be there because that'll be my entire Saturday is cats.
Kittens. There will be a lot of them. Yeah.
All right, let's jump right into these chapters. Chapter 31, Red, Red Wax. not quite as good as Red Wine, but I'll take it.
This chapter, though, I like these chapters better than I like the last chapters.
Yeah.
They were quick, but man, the setup is happening.
Yeah.
Everything, right. By the end of all these chapters, we're on a precipice, just waiting for that final nudge, and then it's going to be chaos.
Yes.
I really think it's coming for real. Like, I don't doubt that at all anymore.
That's what she said.
We are definitely getting not
fast
there.
Enough with the brand.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. We're in even Valda's point of view. Good old Valda. Our favorite white cloak.
Yay,
white cloaks. And he's returning back to Amadeusia, to the Fortress of Light.
He's really grumpy.
He is. And he's not happy about things because he's like, there's no way that the rumors are true that Morghese is here. Like, why would they keep a witch here Fortress of Light? There's no way. She's a witch. They wouldn't keep her here. They said Andor, she's dead. She's probably dead. And he sees Dane Bornhold and he's like, hey, Danny boy. There's more gay things. Like, yeah.
The witches in the Tower of Light.
And he's like, yeah, more gay is with Nigel right now. And she's like, what? She's here? And he gets like kind of pissy about it. He's not happy at all about all this. But then he starts thinking about, like, if I was in charge, you know, Nigel's getting soft, you know, getting soft in his old age. If I was in charge.
Dangerous words.
Everybody move left. Everybody look right. Everywhere you look, I'm killing witches.
Oh.
Okay. Free to do it all my way.
Okay. You hear him scream and pray.
So what do you think about Mr. What do you guys think about Mr. Grumpy Pants Valda?
We're trying to tell you through song. We're telling you. This is what we think.
He's seriously like, I think he's exactly what the White Cloaks need. I think he's a breath of fresh air. I think he's gonna restore what it means to be a White Cloak. I think he's gonna die real soon.
you kind of hope.
I do.
Remember we had that Pedro Nile chapter and we were both like, oh shit, like maybe we underestimated these White Cloaks. Like, this guy is savvy. And like, I got really invested in, you know, Rand really needs to watch out for the White Cloaks. But now, like everything else, Jordan, you know, digs in a little bit deeper. You get to that next layer of the onion and you're like, all right, even in the White Cloak world, there's the potential for this drama and chaos and like a pull for power and everything. So,
I mean, they're men.
Right. Well, and human, because we see it in every group of people we get introduced to. We're like, oh my gosh, they're so badass. And then you dig into a little more and you're like, well, they got problems too. And none of that are problems. right. Well, technically, a witch is the problem, a witch here. Is one, so. 99 problems and that. A witch is one. curious to see how this goes, because this guy doesn't seem like one that is just going to lie down and take it. He's kind of like crazy in his beliefs. So it doesn't matter who Pedro Nile is. Once he believes that Pedro Nile isn't following the way, I don't think he'd have any issues taking him out.
You know? And I want to know why this rumor of her being there hasn't spread further and faster. Like, we have so many people that think she's dead, and then we have so many people that say, no, she's chilling in the tower. She's hanging out there with the White Cloaks. Mm-hmm. Like, that's vital information that would be good for some other people, like her sons, to know. Mm-hmm. Or her daughter. I mean, but they kind of know, but they don't accept.
Well, it's one son should know, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a White Cloak.
You would think of all.
Maybe they're trying to also keep it hush-hush. I don't know. It makes sense that people outside of the White Cloak community don't really know. I feel like this is a group that tries to keep their business, and they're not really occupying the same territory as like what Rand is trying to influence in the Aes Sedai, the area that they influence. So it kind of makes sense that it's not quite crossing those boundaries, but within the White Cloak community, you would think, I mean, soldiers talk. That's all we do. The rumor mill is ridiculous. Like, if there's a hint of something, I'm telling you, everybody knows within a day.
Yeah.
Around the world. So,
yeah. What do you think about the cracks within the organization of the White Cloaks? I mean, obviously, there are factions and power struggles going on here. I mean, obviously, in any organization like this is going to be that. But thinking like a military, you think it'd be a little bit more of an iron grip on rank and file. Whereas here it seems like even when he starts talking to the questioners, talks to Asawana, and there's definitely like, Nile might need to go. He's going to destroy the children, you know, and there's definitely some mutiny afoot.
Well, I mean, even when your higher ranking people like Bornhall are tipping in the bottle, you know, it means that they're a little bit too relaxed, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think as people get relaxed, the ambitious people see opportunity, and those that are not as ambitious see opportunity too, just the other way, to do absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where we are. They're just kind of over it. It's like, all right, we had a cause, and now we really don't know where we're going with this. We're not really in war, but we're kind of in war. There's too much in limbo. And when that happens, people are looking for a better leader, a greater person to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's gonna be a little shady about it. He reminds me of, if you've been going to church long enough, it's either happened at your church or you've heard stories at other churches. The choir director that decides they could do a better job preaching than the preacher. And they start making their alliances and talking smack about the preacher, you know, to influential people in the congregation, you know, till eventually they get their way. But inevitably what happens is, you know, the congregation is like half the size 2 years later because everything falls apart. But that's the vibe I'm getting here.
And Valda points out that they've let Rand get too strong now. Like he said, you know, if it feels up to me, I would have immediately started marching. We would have gathered people on the way. We would have crushed his plenal so that the stone would tear. Like, it didn't need to get this far. Now he has two nations, Kyrian and Andor, that he controls. Like, we've kind of missed our chance to
Yeah, but at Tyr, he had Kalendor. He would have died. Mm-hmm. They would have died so, remember,
but they're, so they're, bad. Their thought process was he's a false dragon, but none of it was real anyway. So they would.
But since we're readers and we know what's going on,
I'm not saying
this guy's a moron.
Right. I'm not saying he would have won at all. I'm just saying that in his logic, they should have done that. But which is logically sound if you believe it is a false dragon.
Right. If I was forced to support the White Cloaks, from what I know right now, what Pedro Nile has been doing and what he's still doing, he is a fantastic leader. He is their best bet. If he's failing as a leader, then he's not doing a good job explaining the why he's doing things mm-hmm. to some of his counterparts. But I also recognize that maybe he can't because it's going to conflict with some of their extreme ideology. And even though he's making good decisions, it's good strategy for them. People would turn on him if he was completely honest about what he's doing because it's not the White Cloak way.
Yeah.
So he's, I don't know. Anyways, he's their best bet.
Yeah.
Which means he's probably going to die or lose power or something like that sometime soon.
Mm-hmm. Anything from all this before we switch to Patron's point of view?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, it kind of segues right in there. Because the next scene is Patron's watching all this from his window above. He can't hear anything, but just sees an angry Valdo stalk away. And he's getting reports from Balwar about, you know.
Is this the morning report?
Yeah, this is where the red wax seal was still intact, you know. And
I could sing Lion King this entire episode.
as he points out, more nonsense about leashed Aes Sedai and monsters coming from the west. And he thinks it's all just BS, that, you know, nothing new there.
I mean,
just,
so are the Shan Chen really doing their thing?
Are they coming back?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's the question, right?
I don't know. What do you guys
think? I mean, if we're talking about leashed Aes Sedai, that's the only group we really know with leashed women that channel. So,
oh yeah,
I believe it.
Yeah,
you know where the White Cloaks are failing. If you're going to be this powerful of a group and you want to influence the whole world, you can't be so isolated and narrow-minded. You got to have some sort of human intel, like out there gathering information. So like all of this stuff that they talk about, you know, from the reader perspective, you hear him talking about how, like, well, it's not really a drag reborn. He ain't really channeling the Aes Sedai are doing it. And we're like, stupid, you don't know. And they kind of scoff about like these rumors of what happened at, where was the place where Rand was up in the sky doing battle?
Faldara.
Not Faldara. Faldara's
the
north.
The penis
Falme.
Falmouth. Yeah.
Falmouth. Yeah.
So, and like they hear rumors about that and they're like, well, that can't be real. It's made up, blah, blah, blah. And they hear about these, you know, leashed women and they seem to know so little about the world around them. I would think if you want to be that powerful organization, like you would have good human intel out there.
Or maybe one of these factions is keeping all the information to themselves.
Yeah. Well, they said they sent patrols out west and they all disappeared. They're not coming back. So,
Human is not patrols. I'm talking undercover. No. I'm talking blend in. Don't walk around going, you know who I am? I'm a White Cloak. You know, walk in the light or I'll stab you in the eye. Like, that's not how you get good information.
Yeah. But that's exactly what Niles' next order was, is to send spies to, you know, and Balwar.
How quickly can we get a courier to Tanchico? And Balwar, mm-hmm. who... just like he's seen it all, he's done it all, he knows it all. He's like, typically 10 days, nowadays 20,
mm-hmm.
maybe 40.
Yeah,
like, but shit's going down. He's like, well, I don't really care about him coming back, I just want to be able to get there, which was kind of cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... I guess to my point is, if you're this large of an organization in this world that we're living in is not that big, you should already have contacts planted everywhere. This should be easy.
You mean like the Aes Sedai?
Yes, but where the Aes Sedai F up is they all do it on an individual basis, so they don't share information with each other very well. So like kind of like that, but
So it's kind of like the, it's exactly like the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA, how they all have their own networks and they don't share anything with each other at all. And in fact, they show up to the same cases sometimes and they literally go like, wait, who's in charge? Are you in charge? Am I in charge? Like, wait, what do you know? What do you know? Like,
both of them are like, well, it's us. We've been running this case for 10 years. And they're like, wait, us too. How are we just now crossing paths?
The worst part, I mean, I knew someone that worked for DEA and was undercover for a long time doing drug stuff. And they said, the cartel and trying to infiltrate cartels, like big time DEA type stuff. He said the worst part is like one time they actually built up this entire case and they went to go try to take this guy down and end up being like an undercover FBI agent. They uncovered an entire like FBI cell. I was like, yeah, I've been working this case for years. They're like, well, we thought you were the case. Like, no, like we're trying.
I think it'd be great if there's actually not a drug problem in America. It's just all these three-letter agencies pretending to be dealers and users.
And they're all gathering information on each other.
When you go back to, start bringing in fentanyl? Like, well, that was actually the ATF. How the fuck did they get involved in this?
You know, we talk too much about these three-letter organizations. They're going to shut down the podcast right now. So let's move on.
Let's talk about NFL. Maybe they'll go there.
NFL.
Don't get me started on that. I had Kirk Cousins and Derrick Henry on my fantasy team, and I only needed one of them to show up and perform. I was close to winning, and both of them bombed. It was – why would you choose Cousins on Monday Night Football? I should have known better.
I don't know.
My bad.
I don't know. So we're gays. We switched to her point of view, and this is a lot. And her escape, Pater's come up with an awesome plan.
Oh yes,
Team Pater
plan. We are all Team Pater here on this podcast. We want you to know this.
Mm-hmm. And Team Pater, and Pater had this awesome plan that they were going to escape, and they were.
I'm sorry. We'll get there eventually. I should not be laughing this much at his demise, but
can we just cut the podcast off and like we should have put together like a memorial like montage of pictures and stuff.
A people say where Peter had beanies.
A slow-mo of getting punched in the nose.
You know, I would say do a moment of silence, but you know, the thing is when I go to edit it, I hit this button called truncate silence, so I'll just cut all the silence out anyway.
that's kind of appropriate for that's a Peter memorial.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have one of the Pater beanies, take a picture and send it in.
Yeah.
Of yourself wearing it.
You know, we actually made a special one for Delusions of Grendel when she had a kid. So she has a little baby one with little ears on it.
That's Pater awesome. Beanie.
Cute.
Yeah. So
little baby
with Pater with Pater gear.
So Pater was super excited because Queen Morgana finally decided that she was going to go with him as long as he made sure that everybody else is going to be able to escape with him. Mm-hmm. And today is the big day that they're going to be smuggled out of the Fortress of the Light.
Yep.
I'm helping.
And their laundry.
And Talon Four doesn't trust. Yeah. Talon Four doesn't trust any of it. He's like, I don't think this Pater guy is.
Because he's intelligent. Any intelligent creature would look at that and go, really? We're going to sneak out with the dirty dishes?
Yeah.
Well, and remember, he's charged himself with the protection of his queen, Merghese. And considering everything that's happened to them and everything happening in this world, you shouldn't trust anybody. Only when you have to get something done. So I vibe with him. Don't trust anybody. Yes, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially Pater, a shifty motherfucker.
But hey, they're getting out. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. You know. Until there's a knock on the door and Basil Go comes in and says, hey, the White Cloaks are here. And he's like, shit, Nayo wants me right now. I'm trying to get out of here. And looks like I'm going to be stalled. And what do they know? Do they know what's going on? And the questioner leads him out and leads him right past the gallows. And she looks up and there's everyone.
Well, but I mean, really, he was just taking her the quickest way to get to you know, the Lord Captain Commander.
Now this was on purpose.
That was what was really happening. And then just so happens That, okay. That very moment.
I didn't know you were going full sarcasm tonight. This is the second time, and you're laying it on so thick. I was like, damn, Chris, we're reading different books, buddy.
I love the setup here. Like, as soon as he came to get her, knowing kind of what I already knew, because somebody slipped up and said something at some point during one of our podcasts, I was like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Something crazy is about to happen, and here it is.
Yep.
Now, how quick do you think she slipped into depression? Do you think she even slipped into it at all? I mean,
no.
Here's a person who was kind of used to stuff happening around her. So
she don't have time for that. She's in survival mode, fight or flight.
Yeah.
If it hits, it'll be much later. It's going to be in downtime. Yeah. So plus, I mean, with her experience, you know, as a queen, she's gone through some shit. So she'll
keep together. Definitely the lioness of Andor. I'll give it to her because she was very, very in control in that moment.
Yeah. Although, can we talk about the description of what happened when they were hung? So one, you have the ones that drop and just immediately go because it breaks the neck. And then you have the lions that squirm and wiggle because it doesn't break their neck. Well, yes. But also, do you see the people hanging or they drop behind a covered platform area?
That's a good question.
You see the rip twitching.
That's right, but they don't see the person. So this is, I'm all the way back to Tom getting taken out by that fade. I don't think he's dead. I don't think this shifty, slimy little booger is dead.
Really? Now, that's an interesting perspective.
Either he slipped the rope or somebody helped him or something, but I don't think he's dead. Well, so also, if Pedro Nile was the one who ordered the hangings or at least knew about him, the little bit I know about him, I don't see him being the one to hang a kid.
Well, and Pedro Nile didn't do it. We learned that.
But he would have to know that it was happening. There's no way here.
No, this happens all the time. They hang people all the time.
When Regaze is back against the wall, she backs through the wall.
Because baby got back. Baby got back. Jeez. Now my mental picture of Morgase has changed. She is big booty Morgase. Like a shelf. Curvaceous. You can set a tray on there and have a snack and
my favorite.
Hold your drinks. yeah. But the fact that we don't actually see him die.
If he comes back, then I definitely owe you a Chick-fil-A sandwich because I am of the mindset that he is gone this time.
I know Pater's not a kid. In my mind, he's a kid. All right, Dana.
I know. I know 40-year-olds that are Weasley like Pater, and they are definitely kids. They're How old is Pater at this point?
That doesn't say.
That's true. Not a kid.
I mean, I guess.
Why in my mind's eye is he a kid?
I think he's just
He's like a teenager in my 20s. He's a 20-year-old in my mind. We could be completely wrong, but. It makes for a more interesting story when you have this kid trying to prove himself, and right. then he dies a quick short right. death.
Keep talking about switching.
He was getting out of the ropes. I think he slipped the
noose. There you go, teenage emo dark friend phase. Like that was exactly what
he's got. He
just wanted the t-shirt. He just wanted the t-shirt.
It just says he's a young man. Yeah, Pater, a young man, a dark friend from Market Share and Bandor.
So we'll say early 20s, late teens.
Let's go with that. Just a little bit older than Rand. Because Rand felt like he wasn't too much older than him.
If it's emo Pater, that t-shirt, he might not even gone to the dark friend like event himself to get the t-shirt. His grandfather or father might have been a dark friend and he just dug that out of his... Or uncle, uncles. And then and then dug the t-shirt out of the closet and was like, "I'm gonna wear this because it's cool."
Yeah,
and that's how he got tapped.
Yeah, his uncle's really was really into like you know Megadeth and like went to all the concerts and he just like this shirt looks awesome. I'm gonna wear it.
AC/DC, it's electric.
This face paint for Kiss looks really cool.
I like makeup.
I love her reaction. She's like so many at once. Like Giggity. She really did play that really well.
Yeah, she kept her cool.
He was day. Perhaps in Andor you let him off easy, not us.
Nope.
See how I read that?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So she finally gets to Niall. Well, more interesting, during the whole execution, the questioners definitely were paying attention to Morgay, see her reaction to it. And she keeps her cool.
They really thought she wasn't even like, didn't have any sort of feeling towards it.
Just like,
you know, she's in there just really testing her to see whether or not they were involved with her. Like, that's really shitty that they did that.
And one, like, flash forward, there's mention of where they talked to everybody, questioned everybody, and they couldn't find a connection to her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
Pater actually was the man in this one. Like, Pater stayed
loyal.
Yeah, like, that's crazy to me.
Didn't
he went from the snot nose, like, booger box broken to, I'm a man. I'm not going to speak.
Turns out Morgay's got Rickrolled by Pater.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
he got let down in the most.
He got let down. She didn't. He got let down violently.
Anyway, but.
I just want to see Pater up on the gallows looking at her going, first time.
First time. You know, I got punched in the nose once. This will probably be just like that.
Yeah. Be fast.
Yeah.
No big deal.
I mean, if he is indeed coming back, then I guess you can't say it's kind of like that. You just quick damage and keep it moving.
Yep.
He could be a Forsaken in disguise.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Pater's done for. I'll put a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A on that.
Okay.
All right. I say we get him by the end of the next book.
Okay.
Pater isn't steak worthy. No. I'm not getting you extra pickles either.
You're getting just not even deluxe. You're just getting the regular spicy chicken sandwich. You're not getting
the extra pickles are free, and I'm still not getting them for you because Pater ain't worth it.
And buy your own damn drink.
There you go. So look, as she's walking along, though, she's like, he's won. I give up. Like, there's nothing I can do. Every time I turn a corner.
And she gives up. I mean, she goes to Niall and says, I'm ready to sign. I'll sign whatever treaty you want. And Niall's
which is
like,
crazy because she had no idea at all whether or not he had anything to do with this at all. But I also understand.
But her hope for escape is gone.
Yes. As is Alice.
And she can't stay there forever. I know she's not a prisoner, but she's in this limbo phase, kind of like how I am, like here just fucking
a prisoner
thumbs. Right. Mm-hmm. And not actually, she has no mission other than sit around and wait, like, and she can't escape now and influence the world. So now she's got to partner with somebody to try and do it.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't like what's happening, especially because, man, skipping way ahead. How crazy is this? If Elaine makes it back and then the White Cloaks attack, Elaine and Morgay's are going to be fighting each other.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, as soon as they realize what's happening, they might try and stop it. But once Caemlyn is fighting in defense against the White Cloaks, do you think either side is going to be able to be called off?
Oh, Matt is going to have fun destroying White Cloaks.
Yes!
That's where you're going with this. So
it's
going to
be chaos. And then they're going to look across the battlefield and Elaine and Morgay's are going to see each other and be like, fuck, what are we doing?
Well, no, that's perfect for Morgay. She's already trying to figure out how she's going to end this relationship before, just as she's beginning it. So she walks in. She's like, all right, I give up. And he's sitting back like thinking to himself. And he goes, oh, you said something? Oh, wait, what? And the treaty's already there, already written. Like,
ready
the ink is more than dry. It's like, you know, the paper's turning to ash already or dust. Because he's been sitting for so long waiting on it. He's like, here you go, sign it. She signs it. He's like, all right, off to the libraries with that document. We're done with this. And she goes, all right, when are we going to reclaim my throne? And he goes, I got other shit to do today.
Yeah. I'll put it on the list of things to do.
And then she immediately turns after all this and goes, perhaps do you play stones? I could use a good game of stones.
Giggity.
She's like, it's time to play the game.
Yep. It's time. Well, if she's going to partner with him, that is the next step. You don't just walk away and let him be fully in control of everything. You got to start influencing. Mm-hmm. And she seems, I think she could play the game.
Oh, she says, you know, she's great at the game. She's one of the best at the games.
Yeah, she does just lost the game.
Yeah, now you're thinking about it. Game over.
Game over.
Yeah, I... I'm not worried about her individually and her ability to take care of herself, but I'm certainly worried about where this is going and if White Cloaks end up going to Caitlyn and everything I mentioned before.
I was worried about Lenny.
Right. Look, what are we reading?
I thought we were going to see Lenny die.
Lord of Chaos. Everybody going to be fighting everybody by the end of this book.
Lenny, how do you pronounce it? Lenny. I was more worried for Lenny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lenny hasn't lived this long because she's a chump. All right.
No. True. She probably already has a way out. She's just being loyal to her queen. But the minute shit goes sideways, she's going to disappear.
Yep. Yeah,
I do. I have all the faith in that.
I got me.
Pop up halfway across the globe. Yeah. Chilling on a beach, drinking a mimosa.
I'm an army of one.
Yeah.
She's really Aes Sedai.
Anything from all this besides our toast and our moment of silence for our dear friend Peter?
To be continued with Peter.
No, I'm going to go ahead and toast with you.
Toast with me. There you go. Cheers to Peter.
I won't toast in that. I'll toast in his honor, but not in his memory.
I'll enjoy that spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah. I might have to owe you one. I'm saying this out of hope, not confidence.
So now we switch to Asuana's point of view. Asuana.
I've got him on my fantasy roster also, tight end from the Denver Broncos.
Marcus, okay. And so he's puzzled by Morghese's reactions to executions. Thinks it's strange. Thought for sure that she'd react more to it. And then talks more about the conviction that they found them, I guess, doing a seance or some kind of ritual toward the Dark One. And
dummies. Why would you camp out next to the White Cloaks and bust out in a Ouija board.
You said exactly what was on my mind. Like, you're literally in the lion's den and you're pouring blood on yourself. Like,
yeah. Dummies.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So the dark one,
like, he has no shits given whether or not you perform this ritual. What he cares about more is can you get him this queen out of this city so he can continue to take her lands?
I don't think the Dark One even cares about any of this.
Probably not, but his Forsaken do, and everybody assumes.
No, but these do feel like wannabe Dark Friends. This still does not feel like A-Team. Even the uncle.
Asonawa. Wah. 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 Wah.
Ah.
Asonawa.
So.
Is the H silent? Or is it wah? Wah. What?
So even when you pronounce it correctly, put that back up, Alan. Even when you pronounce it correctly, it sounds like you don't know how to pronounce it. You're like,
What?
It's okay, good. Not going to work here anymore.
Hey. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure in this chapter with, you know, them plotting against Morghese and more kind of Nihil as well.
Nihil. The name
reminds me of a movie I saw this weekend. Phenomenal movie. What's that? Like 5 stars. The Woman King. Oh, great movie.
Did you see it in theaters?
Yes. Phenomenal.
Someone was just telling me about it briefly, but I got to go back and watch a trailer. I've been told I need to see it. Okay. Yes. I like that you're co-signing because I didn't really trust this other person. But if you liked it, I'm going to look into it. Okay.
Okay. I have to check it out. Cool.
It's all about the homie tribe.
Oh, yeah. No, I have seen a trailer for that. Yeah.
Which tribe was intense. It?
The homie.
Are you serious? Or are you just...
I'm dead serious. They're called the homie.
They actually were not to get historical, like one in every 20 slaves were captured by that tribe to go to America. Like they were the tribe that fueled the American slave trade.
Yes. But, yep. Until they decided not to.
Until they decided not to. Yeah. But they were.
And this movie's about the tail end of it. So anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Summoned in haste. Chapter 32. And we got the Tarongriel for the dream ring.
Yeah.
Thingy.
I enjoyed all of this in the beginning of the next chapter very much so.
Yeah. So sorry, Grant.
I got to say it. These next two chapters kind of sucked me back into the book.
Yeah.
Because we've had so many filler chapters that kind of moved really slow. And I'm like, please get to the point.
Mm-hmm. Bring it all together.
These nuggets in a bite. Yes. Come on. Woo!
I feel you.
Finally.
100%.
Yeah.
We got so Egwene.
We got Egwene. Yeah. We start with Rand. Because Rand's visit, it's Rand's point of view. He's visiting Kyrian. And palace tensions are all high, but it definitely is her, it's him visiting Egwene as well. Hearing the news.
Well, we know that like he is visiting Kyrian, and she said that it seems like one of those grand illuminator firework displays that she's never heard about exploding all through the city, or never seen, but known it's exploding all throughout the city. So she's either avoiding him outright or he's avoiding her outright, which again, I know you guys make the comment all the time, but if they had communicated a little bit better, maybe at all to each other, there could have been some easy resolutions here.
Yeah. Of course, her being around him is risky anyways with all the other Aes Sedai around. She's still trying to dodge that. So she's
I know we have Shido in the camp now. Like the Shido are here. They've sent wise ones. So they literally have people that can peek into the tent of everybody. And kind of see what's going on. And
I don't like that very much. That just because they're wise ones, they're automatically cleared to hang out. Like at what point is your enemy your enemy?
Yeah, but like I would hope that she would have had a greater conversation with Rand about Gawain, and maybe got the two of them to talk to each other a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Maybe it'll still happen.
That could have resolved a lot. Or at least it could have.
But then we'd have one less book. There's going to be a whole book on that.
You think?
On her and Gawain?
Or him, Gawain and Rand fighting?
Oh, yeah. Well, that. I thought you were talking about Gawain and Gawain.
No, that's fan fiction. I'm sure there are many chapters out there in the fan fiction world about the two of them. That's something I have not looked up. I'm a little afraid to do so.
Don't. I'm not. Egwene also is really curious about the sea folk ships. So she says, go check one out. She's been on one before. So
yeah, they're buddies.
Yeah. It doesn't.
She'll be welcome.
Yeah, sure. Tell us how that works out.
It doesn't.
So I got really confused at first. I know like first and foremost goes, you know, she's tired of the day. Her time with Gawain goes by too fast, and the rest of the day goes by too slow. She's avoiding the Aes Sedai and especially the Shido because she doesn't want to get given chores. So she's like, all right, let me do something productive. I'll go talk to the sea folk. Maybe I'll learn something new. Goes to the guy at the river, gives him a silver penny, and it's like, all right, take me to him. She's confidently headed out. They throw down the rope ladder. She climbs up. And then this is where it gets hazy to me. Did somebody like put their hands on her eyes and then cut the ropes? Or like I was a little. I need to go back and reread.
On the corner, I actually saw the knife go in front of her face. It kind of like covered her eyes and then sliced the ropes.
I thought for a minute they were going to say that it sliced through her neck. Okay. Like I was listening. So I was like, slice what? Slice. I got really like, oh my God, do we have our first Game of Thrones style death?
Yeah,
we said she's so important, and now she's done.
It's done. Yeah, but no, they slice the rope ladder, and
so they throw the rope ladder down first, let her walk up it some, and then cut it.
Yeah,
because it wasn't there, right? She hailed, and they tossed the ladder down.
I think so.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, she hailed. So she called a few times. They tossed it down. She goes up. And
I've done this before. You open the door for like, or someone opens the door, your passenger side to get in, then you move forward a little bit.
Oh yeah. I love doing that. I've done it with Chanel a number of times. Or I like unlock the door, and then when she grabs it, I'll lock it again, and then I'll unlock it, then I'll lock it.
All right, but that proves my point is that they were the first ones to be assholes. They started this shit. Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, just want to make sure our listeners, everybody's in the same
place. Asshole's there. A strong word. I mean, prankster, there's a lot of other words you could use. You know.
Where are you, a thesaurus? You're different words, same thing.
She had just reached the rail and she saw a woman who clearly was able to channel. She had on a blouse and blue silk and a dark sash, and she had all these gold earrings. She sounds pretty, but she has an ugly attitude.
No, she's a prankster, funny joker.
Or that. I'll take that. I like that better.
It would be funny when they finally meet if she is just like this slapstick, like everything's a joke, yeah. Like a Jack Black type, just fucking around.
Takes nothing serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Aquaman gets really angry, channels the one power, lifts several people up off the ship.
This is after she gets rescued. Mind you, she is near drowning.
Sure.
In the lake, in the river. Mm-hmm. She was smart. She blew bubbles out and she saw where they went. I would never have thought to go, huh, how do I figure out up and down?
Oh, that's the first thing they teach you. Like, lifeguarding.
Yeah.
Never did lifeguarding. Bubbles
and follow the bubbles.
Follow the bubbles.
That's smart. Like, I didn't know that. Like, my sister threw me in 12 feet and said, swim. That's how I learned to swim.
Which way's up?
You know, I was like, where's the light? I opened my eyes. It burned a lot. I learned to open my eyes in the water that day.
Yeah.
And I fought my way to the top.
Yeah.
The only time I ever had to actually follow my bubbles were, I won't say where, but there was this establishment that had pools that obviously were closed at night. And maybe we hopped the fence and we'd go swimming at night. And then we would bring our friends and we would have some beers. And I don't recommend swimming while drunk, but we were dumb and did that. But if you are swimming and drunk and then doing crazy stuff off the diving board, you might find yourself at a 12-foot depth trying to figure out which way is up, because you get disoriented very quickly. So yeah, I utilized the bubble training then.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Sometimes you can't see either. So I mean, like, it's she's lucky she can even see the bubbles. I mean, I know a lot of
rivers could be dirty in the river.
You can't see
that muddy water.
Shit. Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of scuba diving, like, and not fun. Like, so scuba diving on reefs is really pretty and it's a lot of fun. Work scuba diving, like when you're going down to do salvage or you're going down to clean bottoms of boats, is most of the scuba diving I've done, and it's usually in really murky water and it's not fun because it's just you can't see your hand like this far in front of you. Can't see your hand.
Even the river at my dad's house, it's pretty muddy water. So if you go under and open your eyes, you have about a foot or 2 feet where you can see the glow of light. You still can't quite make out any images in front of you, but below two feet, it's pitch black because it's such muddy water. Mm, There's so much sediment in there.
Yeah. Mm. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
So she lucked out.
Yeah.
And then she gets up on the board. You know, the homeboy pulls her up. He's like, yeah, you gave me that silver penny. I guess I'll help you a little bit more. And she gets angry.
Well, he's ready to leave. He's like, I guess we're going back.
And she's like, no, we're not done yet. And he's like, what do you mean? She's like, watch. And then she unleashes. And I think it's really neat. Where is it at?
Well, and as she does it, she intentionally shows off her strength.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She hits him with multiple weaves.
She knew weather, did she? Could she divide the flows four ways? Not many eyes to die could. One flow was spirit, a shield she shoved onto the wayfinder to keep her from interfering. If she knew how. Each of the other three was air, woven almost delicately around each woman, binding their arms to their sides. Lifting them was not precisely difficult, but not easy either. Like, I could see in my mind, it's just like, and it's really stupid, but she's literally like doing things with her hands to like weave over these air flows.
Yeah.
And then like, and then they all like are like, and then up and then out. And then she did the stupid thing. I wouldn't have let them go. I would have put them in the water. I would have held them in there for a little bit. They're sea folk. Like, duh, they can swim. This is not going to be any problem for, well, I can't say that because not all sailors know how to swim, but they should. But in the past, not all sailors could swim.
Yeah, traditionally, no.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I would have assumed these women could swim. I would have, like, made them a little bit frantic before I let them go. So she has some learning to do in the ways of torture.
But. Yeah. Well, so I like that she gets them back. I think it was a fair, you know, tit for tat. But I actually liked when she let him go that they did like these perfect somersault dive, one and a half. They're like, well, for here, let's make it look pretty. Shoop, shoop, shoop. And then no splash as they enter the water. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So some of the comment that water is pretty scary, and I will attest to that. It's actually one of my deepest fears is water.
Too.
Yeah. Even though I'm a very good swimmer, I'm a sailor. I've sailed across seas and oceans, and I'm terrified of the water. Actually, the scariest moment of my life is actually taking a bath in the middle of the ocean where it's thousands and thousands of feet deep. I was terrified the entire time, especially when the shark showed up. There's a shark that showed up while we were jumping in the water. It was kind of big. So
he's like, man, this ocean's big, long crossing, and there aren't a lot of fish for these sharks to eat on the big crossings. So he's like, oh, I'm so hungry. Snack.
What happened was we lather up and then we jump in to rinse off because we don't have much water. We have to drink the fresh water. So we just jump in the water and rinse off in the ocean. And I had lathered up with soap and was about to jump in. And one of the other guys on the boat was down using the bathroom and he didn't know we'd already jumped in. So he uses the pump out he starts pumping out. And, so this cloud of brown water starts to move away from the boat. So I start swimming away from the boat and our lookout yells shit because there's shit coming out. And then he sees a shark coming up because once the shit comes out, the small fish come out and the sharks come out. I mean, it's like a boom, boom, boom thing. And the shark started coming up and I was like, I said, yell shark. So I started trying to figure out how to get back around to the other side of the boat. And as I'm going around the other side of the boat, because all this commotion definitely stirred the wildlife up, there were sea snakes on the other side coming towards the boat. So it's literally shit.
Oh, they're super
shit
friendly.
Shark. Yeah. Snake. Sea snakes are actually, if you know anything about sea snakes, they are actually more poisonous than anything on land.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're aggressive or just curious, but they will swim right at you.
Yeah. They don't bite apparently from what I've been told. It's very rare they ever bite, but they will swim right up to you. And if they do bite you, you're not going to make it. The fact of the matter is how far out you are in the ocean. They do have antidotes for it, but it would take hours and you have, I think, like 45 minutes to get an antidote or you're dead. Like,
you'd be Dunsky.
You're dead.
So in this story, did you also get soap in your eye? Because that would make it hilarious.
I did stab him and I got $5. But that was,
yes. Well, there you go.
Kidding. I didn't stab anybody.
This is why your wife is like, I can never win an argument because nothing fazes him anymore.
Right. It's like once you live a certain amount in life. And
for anybody listening, that's an inside joke between me and Ian. So I apologize for using inside jokes. But like back when we were younger, whenever someone would tell like a really boring story and everybody's like, so what's the point of the story? You're like, and then I stabbed a guy and took $5. I'm like, oh, okay. That's a great story.
Yeah, that's a great ending. That's crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy. So yeah, that's how we end stories that make no sense. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Judge Judy. I guess we need to move on. So now it's time to go to Teleramiad. So after all this, Egwene goes back and allows her to go to Teleramiad.
She's been back and forth a couple times just for a few minutes to make sure she's capable. You know, they come in, they check her temperature, they use the probe. But she's finally
able to meet all the tower or the little tower, the Celadar Aes Sedais at the stone. So we get to this scene.
Now there was a point where I thought she saw that Rand was there, but clearly she did not. Did she?
No. The person that she didn't recognize was Swan.
Yes.
We're gonna talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
And Shirin's there, and it's ignoring, kind of the wise ones have been saying. And it's very obvious there's a lot of tension between the wise ones and these Aes Sedai.
Yeah, they bust straight into ceremony in ritual.
Yeah, it's a dialogue. These bitches are late again.
Yeah.
Again. They just do not know how to tell time. We need to teach them something.
They can do is be
and as they're doing all this kind of ceremonial type stuff, like the Aes Sedai just kind of cut off the wise ones and they're like, forget all that. Egwene, you're summoned to Saladar. Come in haste. All haste. Actually,
no, you're summoned to the tower.
To the little tower. Of Saladar. And they're like, yeah, you can just come here like in a day. I know there's a way you can do it through the World of Dreams. I'm sure the wise ones can teach you. And they're like, yeah, that's evil. We don't do that.
We don't talk about travel. Like, no, no, no. No, no. Yeah. Dulé, not your coming, Egwene. And she's like, okay, yeah, I'll figure it out. It's not for you to ask
questions.
Yeah,
get your ass over here.
She's literally like, well, I think I figured it out, honestly, but, you know, I also don't want to make them mad, but don't want you to be any madder, so yeah. It's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah. Well, she had to know, her intuition was already that she was going to get found out. Like, there was no way. She even thought about, like, maybe I can make an excuse and not go this time, blah, 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 but she knew. I mean, how much longer?
Did try to cover for her. They're like, that's not why you were summoned. Ask not why. And I think also half the Aes Sedai that are there don't know that she's pretending to be Aes Sedai and for what purpose she actually went.
True.
So I think they were covering two ways, trying to keep her coming back, you know, as tight to the circle as possible.
Yeah.
What do you think about this thing they're hinting to about traveling through Telerangrat, though? Because that's what they're talking about. They're talking about traveling through.
I mean, that's kind of like what Lanfear did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I know much of how that works, but.
Say it. Say what you're going to say.
No, I mean, I was ending with a but. But.
Big. I'm with you. I love them, actually. Anyway, that's probably my word. Anyway. You just threw me completely off. I started thinking about big butts.
Let's do that.
They do that, like, all the time. Anyway. I was going back to the thought of this being a different dimension rather than just a dream world. And so rather than entering a fictitious space of the mind, you're actually just crossing through dimensions. So, you know, dimensions kind of just like touch up against each other and maybe they fold like layers. And so it makes it easier to just kind of go.
Careful with that sound effect.
You just talked about butts. Anyway.
Clapping.
Clapping cheeks maybe, over here. All right.
Maybe she can make her way like through the folds and then come out on the other end.
Mm-hmm. Like, is there a relation between this and how the ways were made? Is there a relation this between like, what was it, when they traveled with the stone portal stuff?
Well, yeah. I mean, we know in Talaryad, when you're in there, you just have to think about the place that you want to go to, and you're there.
Yeah. Mm.
So then it's like collapsing the dimension in on itself and opening up a portal from one to the next, or opening up a doorway from one to the next.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, so like the way Ran described it, it's more like...
But Rand's using a different thing.
You're bending space, and then you punch a hole through it. Yeah. So you bend space, punch a hole through it. The Telerangrat is more you enter it in your real-life body, and then you use the physics and abilities in Telerangrat to just imagine yourself in a different place, and then you come back out, which I guess is more like teleporting, but not in the physical world. So, yeah.
It's interesting. So have you read Hyperion?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah. No. The next chapter is really gonna give us some really great insight.
It does
on how this travel.
Before that, we still have to get to the whole. Yeah, we still have to get to the whole swan thing too. So.
Well, yeah. So we have a young woman who's there, and she has a great mastery of Telerangrat, and then she also like.
Produces this awesome map for Egwene. Like, this is where you need to go. Bink.
It's a 3D map. Did you catch that? She's
and
like,
it even impresses the wise ones. Even the wise ones are like, very nice. That's kind of cool. I like
we
that.
We might
trick.
Steal her from the Aes Sedai later. Yeah. She might become one of us. I think that would be awesome. I mean, she doesn't really have her Aes Sedai power anymore. So why not make her a wise one?
Oh, Swan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that won't happen. But I do see her learning a little bit more from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now that we're here. So, Egwene did not recognize her at first. She's like, and then there's this other woman that I've seen in Telerangrat before, but I don't know who it is. And then someone addresses her as Swan after the map thing. And she's like, wait, Swan? What?
Is there another girl named Swan?
and doesn't recognize her. Now,
yeah, that was Shirium. Shirium's like, good job, Swan. Now, I thought that was hilarious. That interaction where Shirium is like giving Swan praise for making the map. I was like, that's like how a teacher talks to an apprentice, a little
pat on the head.
Yeah, he did it. Dog.
But okay, but here's my problem. This is what stood out to me. Egwene has met Swan while she was still able to channel, right? Before she was still. Swan now has her channeling back, but Egwene did not recognize her. And we already knew.
Her body did not change.
Right, but that still begs the question, like, what's different and why? And I mean, we have hints of it. We know, like, healing her in that sense didn't exactly work the way Nynaeve was able to do with Loghain, but I mean, not all of it's back. So what is she now? Is it like, okay, or what about something even crazier? So she used the same method or attempted the same method she used on Loghain. What if Swan's powers that she has now are more, instead of, you know, the female version and the male version of channeling, they're somehow intertwined, or maybe she got a little of both? Okay, yeah, that's, I don't know. It just, it's hard. Like, we don't have enough information, but we know there's significant differences in her, even in her appearance.
True.
But I mean, you've always, going back to your theory, said that this is more like turning back or speeding up time.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
And so maybe this is what she would have looked like had she never become an Aes Sedai and taken on those qualities. And maybe in healing her and reconnecting the circle, you know, a piece was detached or burned off and now it's been singed back together. Well, you don't always have all of what you had to begin with when you singe things back together.
Yeah. Yeah. But then why was Loghain made so perfectly whole and strong?
Do we really know that it was made perfectly whole and strong, or maybe he was just that powerful?
I mean, I'm anticipating we'll find some limitations with him, but we know he comes out very strong.
Again, like you said before, maybe we're missing one key ingredient to the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, that just stood out to me that she didn't recognize her.
Yeah. So in this point of view, I guess Egwene promises to go to Celadar as soon as she can, however she can get there. And before she saw the dream, she realized that she must face her Tau.
Oh, yeah, because she's like already hit. She's admitted that she has kind of played with the idea of traveling in the dream, which means she's probably already done some exploring in the dream that she shouldn't have done. So she's like, I got some questions I need to answer. Let me go ahead and handle my business. So,
yeah,
I will say, I'm going to say it now before Ian says it. She's my character for the day.
Oh, yeah. How can she not be? I was jumping forward a little bit where, you know, after her toe incident where she stubs her toe and the wise ones help bandage it up, when they were like, I knew it, you were Aiel, da 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 da. Like, I'm sitting there smiling and like, I know she just got her ass beat, but I'm also very excited for her. Like, this is it's like the moment in Final Fantasy where you level up and everybody starts dancing and then they get bigger and they mature and everything. And I'm like, emotional, like, experience points, bing, you know?
Yeah.
We just skipped all the way to the end, guys. Going backwards.
Sorry.
Rand is a freaking creeper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is great, but this is perfect.
Yeah.
Since people don't communicate directly, like, this is great that Rand was there and got all of this information. If we relied on them talking to each other to exchange this information, that would be six more books before it all came out.
True.
So it was good that Rand got or decided to go there.
This is a severe
pattern, kind of, because even he was like, I don't know why I decided to go at that time. I just, you know,
you got to think about it. This is definitely a Taviren moment, because right when Andor is about to be attacked by the White Cloaks at some point here soon, but as soon as the Andorian queen signs over essentially her life to the White Cloaks, now we have a way for Rand to find Elaine and put her in place.
Yeah.
And like I said, mom's already trying to find a way out. And if her daughter is sitting on the throne, I don't have to worry about this truce. All I gotta do is get away from you. And if I can get close enough, my daughter will make sure that I get out of here.
Yeah. So
that's where I'm at.
It again, I'm still looking at the title of the book, Lord of Chaos. I still feel like it's not going to end so simply.
I don't think we're going to hear anything about the White Cloaks marching on Andor in this book.
Possibly.
I don't know, because this much of the book is going to be dedicated to Perrin.
I think they're... Chris, at this point, I'm convinced that everybody's been fucking with us. Every time we've had a guest host, Alan probably talked to him ahead of time, and they were like, hey, I know Perrin's not in this book, but can you tell Chris and Ian that he's coming in like a couple
of chapters? I'm right there with you, actually. Just fuck with him. At this point, I think like the last chapter, so I'm like, and Perrin breathed.
Perrin, yeah, the last paragraph.
Who's Perrin?
You know that block that's just kind of there?
No, it's kind of there.
It's literally going to be the last sentence, and Perrin.
Apparently, he's taking his sweet time getting to Camlann. He's just strolling along, taking naps.
The girls made it to Camlann before he did.
Steven Chat's not there. Who are you talking about?
We're going to get two full Perrin books.
Okay.
Just Perrin.
Perrin's story ended. He got Fael, lived happily ever after, and he's just shacking up the rest of these books.
I would.
Making babies. A
couple of little cubs running around.
Yeah, that's all he's doing now.
Yeah, going to hang out at the in-laws.
No, the in-laws are hanging out with Rand. We actually
just like Rand's creeping in the shadows. Loyal's just there creeping with the notebook, writing every single detail on what's going on.
Yeah.
Loyal's about to get snatched up in about 5 or 6 chapters here. Mama's on her way.
Oh yeah. Well, Mama is on her way.
We can't forget that.
Mama's already there.
Coming.
Marion dropped her off.
Oh yeah, that's right. He did.
Mm. Ooh. It's about to go down. So Rand does a little creeping.
He's just a blacksmith. He's not an important part of the story.
Yeah. Thank you.
The fighting words for
that's
Chris.
That's what I figured. Sure.
There we go. Thank you. Sure. Anyway, Rand's creeping. He's actually just there to like look at Kalendor to make sure his work hasn't been touched.
My precious.
I wish I had the gif of like the guy behind the tree, like looking behind the tree, like rub his hands. Yeah. Like...
And he just so happens to be there when this is going down. And it's like, huh, they drew a map for me. Like, could this get any better? Shit, it's 3D. Oh my God. And X marks the spot. Like,
yeah,
bingo. He's just smiling in the background. I could hear Luce there and like, finally these witches do something right. Now kill them all.
Kill them all.
So what I hear is, if you want to get specific information that you actually need from women, you can't do it by having a conversation with them because they won't give it to you. But if you eavesdrop on their conversations with each other, you might be able to glean some important information. That's, man, hey. Jordan, that's a little bit sexist, man. Come on. Women are good communicators too.
A better communicators.
Alan's trying to get
in some aspects. In some aspects. I don't know. I'm a horrible communicator. I'm like, I just do my own thing. I'm like, oh yeah, I was supposed to tell you I was doing that. Sorry, communication.
Yeah.
I send sex messages.
I told you in my head. Did I not say that out loud?
Yeah.
I'm very bad about that. I will have conversations with people in my head and assume that we have the conversation. I never had it in the real world with you.
For my own sanity, I send a text message. Yeah, now, sometimes I don't hit send. Like when my one cousin asked me a question about the wedding, and then a week later, I'm like, hey, are you going to RSVP? He's like, hey, are you going to answer my text? Oh.
Boom.
No.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, your wedding present has been shipped and on the way to me to give to you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I know you sent me a really cool idea. I didn't actually expect you to get that, but if you did, I have a space for it that is perfect.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's the most expensive book ever bought.
Over there, you see that tall brown thing?
No, it's just fuzzed out, but yeah.
But you can see the outline of all of that. There's fantasy books.
Yep.
Nice.
So when I got Chris from Dragonsteel, I got him the leather bound Mistborn signed by Brandon Sanderson. So it's a signed leather bound copy of the first Fallen Empire.
Final Empire.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to get Chanel to read, and now she's gonna be reading.
Well, don't read that one. That one's to go on display.
You don't want to destroy that one.
That's an expensive book to destroy.
I might get married again just to get some cool presents. This sounds awesome.
You got to give good ideas too.
Yeah.
To check out my rights.
Exactly. I had to buy it too, just because I was like, I'm kind of jealous. I wanted to get one for myself too, but I couldn't bring myself to buy two of them. But I also heard that he's not signing more of those anymore. Once they run out, he might go back to sign them later, but he's too busy right now to sign older books because he's writing so much crap. Anyway,
you have to get on Mistborn.
Oh, he's reading.
I'm on chapter 29.
I know you're enjoying it.
I am loving it. All right, so we're already on a big tangent. I told Alan earlier, this is great. So, like, there's the similarities that he has to, like, Jordan and even Martin.
Spoiler warning for Mistborn.
I won't go in deep into detail. But, like, there are some similarities, but only a little bit and in really fantastic ways. But then he has his own vibe and his own style of writing.
Yes.
I love his pacing. He sprinkles a little bit of action all along the way. It's not that he's not world building and not describing. He just does it kind of in between.
Correct.
And he doesn't go too deep inside everybody's head, but he definitely gets in, you know, the perspective where you're at. He gets in their head a little bit, so you're always understanding what's motivating them, like their previous past influences and how it's affecting decisions now. I mean, it's just, it's awesome.
I honestly wouldn't mind going back and rereading all of Mistborn already.
Really?
Already. Yes. Not lying to you. I enjoyed them that much.
Yeah. Yep.
I have enjoyed every Sanderson thing that I have listened to so far that much that I would go back and listen to all of it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely enjoying it.
All right. Well, let's move on to chapter 33 because we got to finish this last chapter.
Let's do it.
So
she takes the beating like a man, like courage, a woman.
Courage to
an Iron Man, Sanderson. Female.
Chapter 33, courage. And we get the Aiel spears and buckler as our chapter symbol. Because one of the first things we do is Egwene's getting ready to leave. And she's making some arrangements. She sends a message to Gawain saying that, I got to leave. And then Byr and
getting worn in a while. This is really interesting. She really stepped away from the character of being like, from the two river folk, I should say.
She's been living as an Aiel.
Yeah.
Right.
She's been living that life.
That's what I like most about Egwene. She commits 100% whether she realizes it or not.
Yeah.
And she really gets into character and then she's there. If you think about all of the people and being born a two river folk, okay, whatever. But then she's traveling with Perrin. She meets the Tuathuan, the traveling folk, and then she like integrates with them really well. She's really a chameleon. So
she
gets
curious, learns about, and imitates the culture like very quickly.
Yes. So then like she's in there, she's engaging, she's all about it, and then she gets yanked out, and now she's an Aes Sedai. Mm-hmm. And she's becoming the best at becoming an Aes Sedai, and she's in there and she's learning it, and then boom, she's yanked out again and she's thrown in the waste. And a little bit of complaining, yes, not much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she just rolls with it.
She rolls with the punches so well,
makes the best of it, learns,
she's gonna make
keeps learning
the best Amelin seat.
Well, I don't know if we were going to talk about this, but I still go back to the conversation they had. I think it was with Swan, and they were talking about like who they needed to get as the next Amelin. And it needs to be somebody powerful that they can kind of influence, control, or whatever. And I was back and forth between, you know, would it be Nynaeve? Would it be Egwene? Well, Nynaeve still can't control herself, but Egwene would kind of be perfect.
Well, remember when there was that conversation about is the girl ready? And we kept thinking it was Nynaeve.
It might be Egwene.
And then we ventured to say it was Elaine, but we were like, why would they put her in charge of two seats?
Yeah. So Egwene's going to get in front of Shirium, and she's going to be like, Shirium, I'm so sorry I pretended to be an Aes Sedai. And Shirium's going to be like, listen, girl, we don't give a fuck about that. We got a job for you.
You are. Like, wait, what? You've been promoted.
I thought that's why you called me here. She'd be like, nope, we got other plans.
I took that ass whoop.
Yep. And this is something Swan would support because, you know, Swan would probably still feel like she has some big influence with Egwene with their relationship thus far. And
true.
Yeah.
Knowledge. Have we gotten into the chapter yet? Okay. So
yeah. So she's getting ready to leave. Yeah. The wise ones come in and she realizes that, like you said, that they've been treating her now a little differently, that she's been summoned. You know, she's no longer wise one people. She's back to being Aes Sedai. But it's really weighing on Egwene heavy about the lie that she told them. So
lies.
Before that, we have to realize.
The lies.
Sorrelia and Bear were like, you stop being a pupil the moment your sisters summon you. You must go to them as Aes Sedai.
Got to do what you got to do. And I love that
moment.
Oh, I love that they came in and they probably know all, if not most, of what Egwene's about to confess, but they didn't come in and try and rubber nose in it.
Nope.
They didn't. They might have some like little bit disapproving looks, but they all showed up to give Egwene the opportunity to make it right. Mm-hmm. And they didn't tell her she had to. They didn't tell her what to do. They didn't try to make her feel bad. In fact, they tried to encourage her to be like, no, girl, you got to do this. You've been called. This is the path you got to go down.
I love Soralia's response. Angry. We're not angry. I thought you knew us better. It was true. She did not sound angry yet. Since you're still painted all over her face. Like, they all know something's going on. They're all, I mean, first off, they're disappointed by the fact that here they've taught all these lessons and she's still willing to attempt to travel. Mm-hmm. So that was where my mind initially went.
Yep.
Was they're upset with her about doing something that they distinctly stated that she shouldn't do. And then she all but admitted to training without their permission before she actually admits to training without their permission. Mm-hmm. So I think two out of the three big lies, if you want to call it that, they kind of already knew and they're like, we're going to let those go.
And the big one was the Aes Sedai one that she lied about being Aes Sedai.
Yeah.
And she has toe. You know, and needs to help with her toe. And she asked them.
And they didn't tell her she has toe. She confessed. She was like, I have toe. Yeah. And then asked for help in meeting that toe.
Okay. Yeah. And she even says, Saladar has to wait. I have to fill my toe first. And then
got to do it. I don't even hate all of this that happens. Like, I was very proud of her at this moment. Very excited.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate that in that process she got the living shit beat out of her.
And for our listeners that have kids, I think you appreciate this more because I mean I know as a when I was a kid, my parents would do these kind of things, and I never really got it until I have kids. But when a kid comes and confesses something, even if they know they're wrong, like I'm just proud of them for doing that. Like I'm like, thank you. Like
right.
Rather than trying to make something up. Like I mean,
you
like,
also know how hard and stressful that is. Yeah, that's a big moment.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, especially as a parent. Like,
I've got nephews, and I'm like, you could have played that better.
I will do that too sometimes.
You know. You could sing that lie to the grave. You know, that's not.
Yeah, and I never know.
That is an option.
There are some things that my oldest nephew, I swear, he tells on himself all the time. Never once have I ever had to do more than look at the boy. And he admits to everything.
Yeah.
Oh, the younger one, though.
Yeah. My daughter's the exact opposite. She is the one that will never admit to anything. You can watch her do it. Like, I mean,
you'd have it on videotape, play the video back to her.
She's like, Shaggy, it wasn't me.
She's like, that girl in the video.
Eating cookies on the couch.
Do I look like I'm wearing pink? I'm wearing blue. It
feeding Legos to the
me.
Dog.
I changed your clothes because you got the cookies all over you, but it wasn't me. I'm wearing blue. That person's wearing pink.
Shady.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, Asher will be at school, like, and she'll be at home, and I got into the room, and, like, it's a disaster. It looks like a bomb blew up. Like, she went to all the drawers, pulled all the clothes, threw them everywhere. I'm like, and she's like, Asher did it. I'm like, Asher's not here. Asher.
Yeah.
Asher's my son.
Nice try.
She's like, brother, just don't brother. Remember that in 10 years when I'm old enough and actually needed that excuse.
Yeah. That was like, I've told y'all before that time Riley wrote Ryder's name on the wall in crayon. And we were like, and so I pull Riley and I'm like, Riley, you know what? Can't be writing on the wall. She's like, I didn't do that. Ryder did it. See, it's his name. And I'm like, Riley, he doesn't even know how to write yet. He was like two, just turned three or something. I was like, it's clearly you. Like, no, it's his name. It's totally him.
The art of setup. He's getting it though. Like, he's like, all right, I'm figuring this one out.
Yeah.
A couple more years and I'll be there. Before we even get to her getting her punishment, we get to Matt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We switch to Matt. And Matt's playing Snakes and Foxes, which I love that game.
With his little...
With Oliver.
With his son.
Oliver. Yeah, that's... I bet
Oliver's a dark friend.
Ooh. No, Oliver is...
hurt. Oh, hold on.
What's her name's boyfriend?
Brigitte?
Brigitte. Yeah, I think Oliver is Brigitte's boyfriend that got reincarnated before her.
Help me, though. I thought that he... Well, maybe I don't remember correctly. I thought he always came back as like a baby.
Yeah, but time passes differently when you're in and out. So even if it had only been a day... Even if it was only a day that she was without him, by the time she came out, he could have already been older. Because he was usually much older than her.
But he was there like not too long while the others were in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but time passes differently.
So you're saying like he could have been born back in time because he interacted with them.
So he came out and was born, and in the outside world, a couple years passed by, and Oliver got older.
But get what I'm saying.
Might have only been a couple weeks before she finally got ripped out.
He was outright talking to, who was it that he was talking to? Not Egwene.
Who? Oliver?
Whatever.
Oliver didn't show up until after Homie got reincarnated.
Yeah.
No. But I'm saying Homie was talking to the others in Tala An Riyadh. He kept warning.
Gatto Kane showed up.
Yeah, multiple times.
But he had disappeared by the time Ricky got ripped out.
So yeah, but he was there like days before. And I'm saying days loosely.
Okay.
So that means he would have had to have been born back in time. And I agree with what you're saying. It would make sense for this boy to be that man.
Chris, there is no time.
Yeah.
True. But he would have had to have been born back in time to now be
the age he is. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I got you.
Which I guess is possible. We don't know yet.
Hey, I'm going to roll with that until proven otherwise.
Either that or Matt's got the worst of luck. His girlfriend was a dark friend. Now his surrogate child is a dark friend. Like, Matt rolls the dice and every now and then loses.
Yeah.
Everybody he loves is a dark friend.
But when he's playing this board game with Oliver, he doesn't roll the dice because that wouldn't be fair. How cute is that?
It is cute.
He doesn't want his luck to take over the game when he's playing with little Oliver.
So sweet. I like that. It is sweet. And plus, you're not supposed to win the game. That's the point of the game, to teach you some humility.
Yeah, something like that.
I would achieve.
Time is just a made-up construct anyway. I mean, the whole reason why we have the time it is actually because the Babylonians use a base 60 system versus the Romans use a base 10 system. Mm-hmm. So all of our time is based on 60 seconds because... That's what the Babylonians said. A minute.
That's
so
why. What back in England, they jumped a few years ahead to catch up to us.
Yeah. So I mean, literally, it goes back to ancient times and using a different mathematics system than us, a base 60 system. So it's all construct. Time's not real. Is basically what I'm trying to get at.
There's so many concepts like that that when you think about it, literally, someone at some point. Some old dude was just like, well, this is the way we're going to do things. And then for thousands of years, people just accept it.
Yeah, pretty much.
From this point forward, everyone will send me chocolate by the third Thursday of the month.
I bet you if you go back far enough, flicking people off like this was like, hey,
I'm mandating it.
Are you making like a one of those boards or whatever, trying to make like your reality true and like,
oh yeah,
like speaking into existence
from this point forward on the third Thursday, by the third Thursday of every month, everyone will send me chocolate.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
I ain't send you chocolate.
I'll send you some recycled, gently used chocolate.
So what do you think about snakes and foxes?
Well, I mean, I don't know why he hasn't put together one and one and realized he's met the snakes and he's met the foxes. And you lose that game every time.
Matt starts thinking about how it seems familiar and he doesn't like it at all. Like, he's like,
yeah. Like, bro, you met literally the real snakes and foxes that the game was probably based off of.
Yeah. And they lose the game because you can't win the game unless you cheat. That's, you learned as a kid, is that the game's unbeatable.
I feel like that's a hint.
Well, I mean, technically he did cheat. He had Rand help him off the tree.
What do you think about the phrase, though, that they use to start each game? Courage to strengthen, fire to blind, music to dazzle, iron to bind. And that's what you say before every single game.
It tells you how to beat him.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to come into play. It's not insignificant.
I mean, do you think we go through the doors again?
Oh, I'm sure.
Do you think there's still in a door right now?
There's no way beings like that are that powerful and influential are just going to be one and done in a world like this. That's what she said. Can't be. That'd be like saying Pater's dead. No fucking way.
Pater's gone this time. My chicken sandwich is riding on it.
There you go.
No pickles.
Yeah.
I hate pickles anyway, so thanks.
Fine,
I just didn't even know that.
So
extra pickles.
Despite losing the game and Oliver wanted to play again, it's time for Oliver's bed.
Somebody shows up.
Ollie, it's getting late, buddy. Go brush your teeth and get ready for bed. Yeah. Put on some PJs.
Well, I mean, he was going to play another game with him at first, then the Lord Dragon comes into town. So
is that the Dragon Reborn? Yeah, kid, it is.
We're kind of good friends. Like, you can say it's serious. You can say it's serious.
Yeah. Like, this is when I had like the Hercules moment where you had the two little boys that were, you know, attacked by the Hydra and they turn out to be the dark minions.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, now that you said it, it makes more sense for him to be the other guy, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
I think for Oliver and him, it's going to turn into one of those never meet your heroes moments. He's like, oh my gosh, the Dragon Reborn. And then like by the end of this book, he's going to see Rand like just dicing up people with the power. And he's going to be like, oh shit, that's freaky.
Oh no. Yeah. If he's the, what's the guy's name? Somebody in chat help me out.
Darid.
If he is Darid, then he's going to be all about the battle.
Do you want the guy that shows up? Or God,
okay. No, I'm talking about
Brigitte.
Oh, that's Gaido Kane.
Gaido.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's got to ease into the battle.
Which always to me sound like some like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter character. Gaido Kane, finish him. Gaido Kane.
He rides up on a horse and tramples him.
Yeah.
As a 6-year-old boy. How old is this kid? Have we gotten an age?
I don't know.
I bounce between 6 and 10.
He's a young lad. Here.
I was giving him about 8 years old.
Just a companion.
Well, because
I'm using this a lot tonight.
Yeah. Although Matt having kind of like his younger sisters and everything, he could probably handle a really young kid. I'm sure he's got the skills. Yeah. But I picture about 8.
Yeah. Rand shows up and he's not alone. He's got Envianda in tow. And they go and they address Matt.
Just as a young boy.
Matt's like, I didn't expect you. What's going on? Have we decided to change plans? It's a little too late for that. I'm already moving. I already got ideas. Like we have this thing happening. And Rand's like yeah. Nope.
Frago. Nope. Change of
plans. That plan that you had.
I need you to do something totally different. And you're going to take everybody with you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to take Avienda. Yeah. And then Avi chimes in. She's like, I'm going to go because I want to go. I'm not going to go because you said I'm going to go. I wanted to go before you said it, just so you know.
For sure.
Uh-huh.
I love that reaction. She's like, don't sit here and act like you're mandating that I go. It's almost a challenge. Like, say it again and watch what happens.
Yeah.
Like, that's
like, I know I should.
Say it again.
I know I should go, but since you said it, now I'm not going to go because you said it.
Yeah, pretty much go gather Elaine's the first priority, but then gather anybody else that wants to go as well, and then get Egwene too, because she's going down there too. So get everybody.
And
Avienda knows she's going because Avienda has toe. But she can't tell Rand that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Well, it's between her and Elaine. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have toe to Rand. But
yeah, she does.
Lying about the pregnancy. We haven't gotten into lies of omission. With the Aiel, it seems to be more lies of commission.
But she admitted to having Rand to toe to Rand.
Yeah, she did say she had toe to Rand.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. She just doesn't. Yeah. She said, in order to get rid of it, she has to like kill somebody or another.
Kill him.
Yeah, like pinky toe.
Yeah.
Yeah, no big deal.
I think it's for the toe to Elaine.
Just toe to Rand
because I think Rand saved her. I can't remember. Yeah, it's like
so much toe. Trying to figure out toe gives me a headache sometimes. But hey, so Rand in this quick little, he's hitting it at so many angles. He also talks about how
she enjoys it.
He's talking about like, okay, I'm gonna drop you outside so that they could sense your coming, and like, you know, you don't surprise these Aes Sedai. Also, these Aes Sedai are kind of supposed to be like backing.
Rand clearly does not fill the void if he can hit it at that many angles.
Oh, that's what Lordy. She said.
It's bigger on the inside.
Exactly, he's not filling the void. He's just poking a hole right through it.
But so he also gives Matt, you know, quick directions with dealing with the Aes Sedai. Let him know that, hey, if you stand with me, I'll protect you. I got your back, which is great.
He's like, they're supposed to not be enemies. They're supposed to be on my side. So let's put this all to a test. Matt, you're it.
It's like, but he doesn't offer them a partnership. He says, I should open up, look at the exact words, but it was more like, you know, I'll protect you. You'll be under my protection. So like under my umbrella sort of thing. So it's a quick one-liner, but if it gets to...
He says, if you think it can be trusted, offer your protection and mine. They're supposed to be on my side, and they might be glad of even my protection by now. So he's of the mindset that they're getting desperate and they're in need. I think part of that stems from how quickly and their request was for Elaine to come back.
Or Egwene.
Egwene, excuse me. I think he sensed desperation, not necessarily the coming together of a plan.
I don't know if it's desperation, or at least by watching that, knowing that Egwene's going back, you know, something is afoot at the Circle K. And some big moves are about to be made, and he knows he needs to start dabbling in that arena.
Circle K down the street from me, there's a lot going on.
There's always something going on at Circle K. It's not good.
Hey, did you see there's a new Clerks out?
No.
They've been doing showings in random cities all over the place. They just had one in Richmond, but I wasn't able to make it.
Huh.
For those of you that are listening to that from the South, Circle K is a gas station that's pretty
prominent. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And is they're always the a little sketchy.
They're little?
Yeah. I mean, it's North Carolina.
A lot of sketchy?
A lot of sketchy.
I mean, the Circle K is in Virginia and North Carolina. They had a Circle K on J. Clyde, 17.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, that's right.
They did. I remember that.
They did, but then Harris Teeter bought
then
it.
Turned it into
Harris Teeter gas station. But it still has the same clientele, so it's like the most ghetto.
Yes, I can remember that.
So bad. Anyway, so continue on. Down the good old Circle K.
Hitting it from all the angles, offering his protection, not offering a partnership or anything like that.
Glad he's.
And then also, this is going to be great. Hey, pass this letter on to Tom, the letter from Moraine, which I still believe is her fulfilling her promise and revealing who it was that went after his nephew.
It's which could be two things. Love.
Well, no, it could be two things, though.
Save me.
It could be really bad no matter what Aes Sedai or group of Aes Sedai she rats on and says, all right, this is the person or persons that
get the unicorn. Come get
gentled your nephew. That they're automatically enemies of Tom. Or I know this is a stretch, but we've kind of mentioned, all right, what if like he didn't actually kill himself? What if perchance the nephew's still alive somehow? I mean, the way the story was told, I doubt it. But
hang out with Rand.
Who? Oh, well, yeah. No, I mean, there's all that. But, like, that could open up, like, a whole new can of worms. I think it is going to be that he actually did die after he killed himself. but a revelation of who gentled him. And then that's going to be like enemy of Tom's. But then this is going to be some Aes Sedai that is important to, you know, Rand. What Rand or the little tower needs to get done. So, okay, again, yes. But wait, name of the book, Lord of Chaos. What I see unfolding here is it's more like a Venn diagram.
I feel like she would be smarter though. If she felt like Rand would need this person, she'd say, after you take care of the things you need to take care of, then go.
She made a promise. Tom fulfilled his part, so she fulfilled hers. So, but in every category, we're finding like overlapping allegiances. Like we have somebody that's now partnered with the White Cloaks that we want to say would be on Rand's side because of Elaine, if somehow they could just work that out. And then, you know, in the Little Tower and the White Tower, you still have influences of Forsaken, Dark Friends, Black Aja, whatever, don't know who to trust. And then you're going to end up even within a group of Aes Sedai that we trust. Maybe it's the former Omlin herself. Maybe it was Swan that, well, I mean, I doubt it. She wasn't a red, but gentled his nephew or whatever. But you're going to have like all these like groups of, all right, in this situation, this person's a good person that we want to be able to do well because we need them for this purpose. But they're also the enemy of this guy who's actually our friend that we need to use here. And it's going to be, I don't know, just chaos. Mm-hmm. There's no one good solid team. And there will be a lord of this chaos. Mm-hmm. That I'm guessing
so, is Rafa. Back to the story. I guess this is part
that
of the story. It is a story. But back to where we are in the chapter. So I guess
Rand is like, so get
Elaine. Matt gave the plan. Matt thinks the plan's mad.
But Rand's like, I don't care. Get Elaine. Get her home.
Yeah,
get her on the throne.
Help
Gwaine out because she might be screwed.
This might be important. Hands Matt a letter. Says, make sure you get this Tom. Tom's probably there.
See, this is why I told you, Chris, when we start going on our rants, Alan stops listening. I just talked about this for 5 minutes, Alan.
I did stop listening.
We're not going over it again.
All right.
The letter to Tom is not important.
It's not important? Okay. Continue on
that. Chris chimed in a little bit on that one. We covered it.
Okay. So all this is covered then?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that this is who took out your nephew? That's what the letter is.
Oh, that's what the letter is.
Then Tom's gonna go berserker.
Interesting. Okay. Going through my notes. Are we back to Gwaine?
Yes.
We're getting there.
Anything else from all those?
Matt suggested just taking a small force, and then Rand was like, "No, you gotta take everybody." So now Matt is doing all of this with the whole band. So now he's got an army at his back, and then we know it could run into White Cloaks. It could be threatening to the Aes Sedai. It could be all sorts of crazy.
Okay. Ready to move on?
You good? You good, Chris?
Oh, my God. First and foremost, the next door neighbors to us, I hate apartment living. Now you're going to get my rant. I hate apartment living. The people next to us have a problem with putting their trash outside and then leaving it, and sometimes for days. And I have snitched at this point multiple times because I'm fucking over it. I said something to them. They do nothing. I know they give you a $50 fee every time that somebody sends a picture of your stuff. So flat out, I'm sending a picture every time it comes up. But now we've been getting the big ass roaches, the water bugs, palmetto bugs, whatever you want to call them. They're now starting to come to my house. This motherfucker was crawling on the wall and he jumped like from the wall, and this is like a 3 foot leap from the wall from beside me. He wasn't even like up above where he could get some. No, he was beside me and decides to jump at me.
He just wanted like, a hug.
He wanted a hug. As I turn, I catch a cramp in my damn hammy, and then I watch this motherfucker like land beside me and just start scurrying. I'm like, nope, you're not gonna leave me. I have nothing near me. So of course, I need to wash my hands when we're done because I got him, but in the grossest ways.
Chris just killed a roach on live stream. That's awesome.
The palmetto bug. This is why we're getting the cat. because this bad, this cat will eat all the bugs. That's my goal.
I thought that too. My cat's lazy, so I'll get out. Yeah.
Chanel's sister's cat. I watched second rant tangent of the day that has nothing to do. I watched this cat find a spider, right? Mm-hmm. No, excuse me, a cricket.
Yeah.
And it's like, catches a cricket and lets it go. And then catches the cricket and pulls it back in and lets it go. And then catches the cricket and breaks a leg. And then watches it walk along the carpet for an hour. Because we're watching a movie and it's watching the bug. And I'm like, you know what? This shit's cruel, but I'm not going to stop it. I just want to see what's going to happen. Later we find the bug like laid out dead. Didn't eat the bug, just wanted to watch it kill. I'm like, huh. Mm. They are little demons. Anyway, so back to Egwene.
Back to
Egwene. Another cat.
Facing the wise ones.
Was she, though? It sounds like her ass was up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So she wasn't face. Yeah. Face down.
And she was taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She assumed the position.
By a thin but very wide belt.
Thanks. I appreciated that. I lost my book.
Yeah.
Yes, they said the belt was thin, but as wide as her hand. So we don't know how wide her hand is. She could have tiny hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. I was looking at my hand thinking, man, that's massive. Your hand, Chris. Oof. Wade's hand, probably. Yeah. That's not too bad. I don't know what she's complaining about.
Nah. I've been beat with worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, it sounds like everybody's taking a turn. 12 lashes to the rear end.
They're lighting her up. Lighting her up.
Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like at her breaking point and they kind of stop. And she was like, is it done? This is where, oh man, I got a little emotional in this section. You could tell they're proud of her. Like she put herself through this. They say something to the effect like, well, only you can decide, you know, when your toe's been met. That's not something I can.
That's how toe works.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, oh, spank
Give
me
it
again.
To me, daddy.
Spank me again. And then they all go one at a time. They whoever had the better of the time just tosses it on the ground and it's like, this girl has no toe towards me. And everybody else goes through and says it too. And I was like, oh man, this is wonderful.
And this is why she gets my vote for favorite character.
Yeah. That was impressive.
Yeah.
And I don't think they let her off lightly. I think it was also the understanding or recognizing that Egwene understood that what she did was so horrible in their eyes. Like the lion was that bad. And that even she felt like, no, even that's not enough. I need more.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just the beating itself. It was all of them recognizing, but Egwene recognizing that it wasn't enough, you know, to meet the betrayal.
Yeah.
The offense, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's just like, gets back down and grabs a hold of her ankles and says, give it to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the wise ones, and they're like, no, child, you're done here. But you can work your toe out with Rorik later. And she was like, shit. That's right.
And on the end up.
And on the end up. I owe more. Oh, my gosh.
That was probably my favorite part was the realization that she's like, it's a good thing there's only ladies here. And then it's like, huh, Rorik will get you later. Like, she fought it, and then they said it. And it's like, oh. She's like, oh, yeah, and Avienda. And who else? There are others. She's like, well, maybe by then I'll be hard enough not to have to worry about it.
Yep.
Nah, Ruark's going to give it to her real good.
Oh, man.
I bet you Ruark's going to be like, we ain't got no toe. I already knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very emotional scene, and Egwene takes it extremely well.
Yeah, and they were good job, Alan. this is where they were like, "See, I told you, she is Aiel," you know, which is I don't know.
They get down. The dancing of the spears.
It's like a rites of passage moment, you know, for her.
Agree, because they were like, she understands Tove as well as anybody else. She's definitely one of us. But again, that goes back to the comment I was making earlier. She slips in and out so that she could blend in wherever she wants.
Yeah.
So after this, the wise ones chase everyone away so Egwene can prepare for her trip. They say goodbyes and they have a little heart warming moment where Nynaeve asks if she can still train with Bayer, you know, and she's like, of course I can still teach you.
She's like, of course I can, because by the time you get there, they'll probably not watch you anymore. You're all used up.
So yeah, you can always come back and work to be a wise one. But the one wise one,
marry and everything.
Yeah, the one wise one where she had the agreement that she wouldn't go into Teleron Riad on her own. She's no longer going to train her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's at least the one that's like, we had a deal, you broke it. I'm not going to train you anymore. But the others are going to help her out still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then again, if she manages to work out how to travel through Teleron Riad, and it, you know, once they figure out exactly how much she knows, mm-hmm. she may find out that she didn't have too much more to learn from them.
True.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there are some, like, other things that happen in dreams, like foretellings and things that they could help her with, but not with this.
Yeah. Not to go back to Mistborn, but you have the people that can do all the things, and then you have some people that can only do one thing. And
uh-huh.
taking the time to study with those that specialize in one thing is very advantageous.
Agreed.
So just because she gets to a point where she knows a little bit of everything, or might even know more than, you know, any one wise one, that doesn't mean it's not worthwhile to continue to train in certain aspects.
Agreed.
You know, if you find one that is like, well, I can't do that much, but I'm really good at this. Well, it's good to spend time with that person and learn it, you know?
All right.
So.
Agreed.
Yeah. So before we move on, we should go back and talk about this Tom's letter thing.
You son of a bitch. Yeah, did we forget that? Alan wakes up from his nap. Is that the music they play at the Oscars when you give too long of a speech? Is somebody telling us the show must go on?
Time to go. Yeah, and that's how we wrap up the chapter, isn't it? Yeah, Gwen's getting ready to.
That's it.
Yeah, Zeldar, and that's how we
again. These chapters really brought it, the book, back to life. Like, I was just like, oh, I want to read more.
To go down, yes.
That's what we need. We need Kevin Hart meme.
Yeah, at least once or twice a book, we'll be able to drop the "it's about to go down."
Yes, like the last five chapters of the book.
Yep.
So
yeah, definitely. So, favorite characters.
Go ahead, Chris. Say it one more time, Chris.
Yeah, say it one more time, Chris, for us.
Eggie.
Even though it was brief, I have to go with Matt. After everything he's gone through, Matt still very much has a heart, the way he's taking care of Oliver. I hope nothing horrible happens to Oliver, because that's really gonna fuck Matt up. But just kind of watching the little.
Now, how messed up would it be if Oliver is what's his name again? Guy, whoever.
Brigitte's dude.
Brigitte's guy. Yes, I know. Dennis.
I don't think it'll mess it up too much.
No, but
Matt's still gonna be very protective of him. But Brigitte, if she finds out, is gonna want to.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Brigitte's like a whole lot older.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
It will be.
But yeah, I want to give a shout out to Matt. He's doing good things and still loyal to Rand. Like, there's so much that Rand's asked him to do that he's like, I don't want to do that. But he still does it, you know?
Is that because he wants to, or because of Taviren?
I didn't feel this was much of a Taviren pull this time. It's not like he stumbled into it. There was, you know, it was asked, and, you know, he put up his objections and Rand was like, no, this is what I need to happen. He's like, fine. All right.
Kano, that's his name.
Yeah. And Matt apparently gets Aiel humor, and he's funny to Aiel women.
Yeah.
Does he get the humor, or does he just accidentally say it?
I think he was accidentally funny because he got Avienda to die laughing.
Yeah. my favorite character for this chapter is Peter. Fought the good fight to the end.
Oh.
Cheers.
Yeah. Agreed.
Look, just in case he is dead, I will toast in his memory, because I do love Pater, the guy. Yeah. To Pater.
Toast to Pater.
So next time we'll be doing three chapters again,
And these are some doozies.
Oh, Dana just brought up a good point.
What's that?
Brigitte is in Saladar, where Matt is taking Oliver. So we'll know soon. We'll know soon.
All right, y'all got that that gif ready? It's about to go down.
We'll work on that for next week. So next week, we'll be covering three chapters again. So the three chapters are Journey to Saladar, whatever that's about, In the Hall of the Sitters, and The Ammerlin is Raised.
Oh. Egwene! Yes! We called it! Yes!
That's the next three
chapters. Why didn't I bet a stake on that one?
Yes. So,
this is great.
It'll be fun. Next
we have
week,
guest hosts for that chapter?
We do not.
Because that'll tell us if it's really important.
Our next guests are not till October 18th, so right before you get married, the week before you get married.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's our...
Maybe
our,
I'll see if Chanel wants to come on. I'm going to ask her if these are good chapters.
Yeah, you can get Chanel next week. That'll be fun. Our next scheduled ones are people have been saying in the chat, drink puppets. We're actually going to have puppets on because it's the return of the Way to Leaf. October 18th.
That's going to be a long
love those
night.
Guys. That's going to be fun.
Well, no, we have a hard cut off because they start their show on Tuesday nights too at 10:30. So even though we're 10 minutes later than what they would be.
Blend them in.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just go from one show to the next. We'll just go on to their show.
Hopefully I'm off orders and can drink again. Not that I need to be drinking to be around those guys, but let me tell you, when you get a couple drinks in you and start chatting with those dudes, it gets hilarious really fast.
They're fun.
I don't even remember the last night because I think I had Dark and Stormies that night too. I probably fell asleep. I ride the
Jordy Con or Jordy Con or last time they were on our podcast.
On our podcast.
Last time we.
And well, I don't remember. Probably Jordan Con too. Jordy Con. I think I had, yeah, like I think every time that they've been near us, we've had Darkest Stormies.
Yeah.
Well, I got kits in the other room, so
I guess I have to get some more.
So, how we can be found is thewillreads.com. That's our website. We have links to everything. You can find our social media links. We're on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, obviously YouTube now, any podcast platform. Find it all there. You can write reviews on our website. You can also find links to things to support us, like our merchandise. We have lots of t-shirts, frosty mugs, shot glasses, even baby onesies if you're expecting or have someone you know that's expecting. You want to send a nice Wheel of Time themed onesie. We sell baby stuff. Hit the like button. Yeah, exactly. Also, support us on Patreon. It's a great way to support us. It pays for a lot of things like microphones, so we can have cool, fancy microphones, and I can have two mics at once.
And you can even do it like Lazarus. We won't be upset. You can leave and then come back.
Alan likes
and then leave
two and then come once.
Back. And then leave and then come
exactly.
back.
Yeah, I don't use this one. Obviously, it's not plugged in, but
what's that one for?
Well, I can't fit it in my mouth. Ian
that's
holds
what
the
she
record.
Said.
Ian can actually fit these microphones in his mouth. I cannot. So maybe one day I'll. It depends on really. So I only use this mic if my wife's watching TV in the other room.
Members only, fans only.
So give you a little behind the scenes. This. Right only here is a condenser mic. A condenser mic picks up everything. So it's actually a better mic. It's a more expensive mic. But if my wife's watching TV in the other room, you can hear it. This is a dynamic mic. Same thing Ian and Chris have, which means it can only hear me from about that far away.
It means I got to get right up on it and I can't lay back.
I just heard Alan say he got him the good stuff and Chris and I, you and I got the knockoff mics. That's what I heard.
I can get you these ones. Do you guys want these ones?
You don't need to hear what else is going on in the barracks. We need to wait till I'm home.
Yeah, if you got me one of those, you can hear Chanel's TV shows.
This one was actually not bought with Patreon money. This was actually when I first started the podcast, I put on a Christmas wish list on Amazon, and my mother-in-law bought me this one, even though I'd already got mics. And I was like, sweet, I got the dream mic. Awesome. So that was actually a present. So
cool.
But yeah, patrons bought.
Where does she request these Christmas lists be sent to? We're getting to that point.
Yeah, I have an ongoing Amazon wish list. So I just put on Amazon so it can be sent out to everyone. So
nice, very smart. Yeah. Makes it right easy now, for the only thing I have on mine is freedom. I just, I just want to be let go. Just,
I need to hear that when we end. I need to hear this court martial thing because I wasn't privy to that conversation.
Oh,
so on that note, that's all I got for this week, guys. So,
until next time,
peace.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.